You can talk more after service. Talk all you want after service, just like our Monday night Bible study. Well, I was going to have a little, very short video for you, but with all the technical issues, that kind of went out the window. But I've been thinking about that today, thinking, well, what am I going to do if I don't have it? Well, it's a really short video, and you probably already have seen it. It's a little clip from a movie called City Slickers. There's a scene where Jack Palance, the old cowboy, and Billy Crystal are out riding out on the range, you know, at that dude ranch. And the old cowboy, Jack Palance, turns to Billy Crystal and goes, you know, I know what the secret of life is. Billy Crystal goes, what is it? And Jack Palance lifts his finger up like this, and Billy Crystal looks at him kind of smirking and goes, your finger? And he just looks at him and goes, he goes like this, points to Billy Crystal and goes, the secret of life is one thing. He points to Billy Crystal and goes, and Billy Crystal says, what is it? And he points to him and says, you have to figure that out. And I totally blew that line, but that's how it goes. You can go online and find it in about 10 seconds. Since we had our work on it, we showed it to you. But that's the gist of it. And I thought it was a good introduction to our message today, which is we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. If you want to turn to that. We're going to be starting in verse 24. The main verse is 633, Matthew 633. You may have heard of this one. I consider it my personal Bible verse that I apply to my life. At least I try to. It occurred to me, though, not that long ago that I never really studied it. Didn't really look to it more than just a cursory, superficial kind of a thing. The verse is 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Put God first, and he will take care of you. But God kind of put it on my heart a few weeks ago, because I thought I was going to be teaching. It kind of was on and off about the situation, but he had planted the seed in my heart that I needed to study that. And so I've been kind of mulling it over in my head and thinking about the words. And so when Mike asked me to teach tonight, kind of on a spur of the moment thing, I'm like, God already gave me the message. I just got to kind of work it out a little bit. So I'd like to read the whole passage again, Matthew 6, starting at verse 24. I'm going to read the whole passage and then we'll pray and get into the message. My little title for that, for verse 24 is, you cannot serve God in riches. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. You guys, listen for the word worry. Highlight it if you got a pen in your Bible. See how many times Jesus says it in this passage. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity for us to study your word together. We pray for a filling of your spirit so we can learn, Lord, and apply these things to our lives. We thank you for how much you love us and for the grace and mercy, the endless and boundless grace and mercy that you have lavished on us, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So like I said, I always consider this to be like my personal Bible verse, my life's verse. I never really studied it very much. So I kind of was looking through Matthew 6, getting some context, reading from the beginning all the way through to get a feel for it. And it's, you know, part of the Sermon on the Mount. There's a lot of good stuff in there. If you just go to chapter 6 and just read it, there is a teaching in every little paragraph. It's awesome. I went over and over just reading it. But I want to start at verse 24. We're going to walk our way through some of this. And we'll get to our main verse in just a little bit here. So verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, mammon being money. As we all know, money can become an idol. We learn to depend on it. We have to a certain level. It can be an idol, but it also is a very important tool in our lives to get what we need to live. But sometimes we worship it instead of worshiping God. Jesus here is saying, make a choice. Trust God and he will take care of you. Moving on to verse 25. Therefore, and you know what they say about any time in the Bible, there's a therefore, where we have to ask, what's it there for? So I always look back to what I just read, not only 24, but even before that, to get what Jesus is leading up to. Therefore I say, because you cannot serve two masters, I say, do not worry about your life. There's worry number one. What you eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So I think Jesus is saying here, if we trust God, he will take care of the necessities of life. Notice he doesn't say the wants that we have, but the needs. Okay. Now, we all know God can bless us immensely, well over and above what we have to have. Our food, clothing, a shelter. In this day and age, we need transportation due to a job. He takes care of those things. But if we want something above and beyond, we can ask for it, but he's not going to guarantee it. Jesus is pointing here to the essentials. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? We're made in his image. Jesus, God the Father, through Jesus, created us specially. He created a lot of awesome animals, a wonderful planet, a lot of beauty on it. He went way over what was needed, in my mind. I mean, he just, everything he does is just on a huge scale. And if a little's good, then he'll put in a lot. It's awesome. And he's saying here, you are made in his image, in God's image. You are very special to him. We have a soul. We can relate to him. We can have a relationship with him. He wants to have one with us. We are very important to God. Verse 27, which of you by worrying, there's another one, can add one cubit to his stature? So how tall, how long is a cubit?
18 inches.
Yeah, that's a long ways. Talk about exaggerating, you know. But I bet he had a lot of people out in the audience kind of snickering, going, yeah, you're right, Jesus. I cannot, not only can I not add a cubit to my stature, if I'm worrying, I can't even add an inch or anything at all by worrying. I've heard other verses or other people say that he also could have meant you can't add a year to your age. You can't add any time to your life by worrying. In fact, you'll probably lose some time by worrying. It's not productive. He's telling us he's not productive. Doesn't do us any positive things, any good. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, look how much care God takes for nature, for plants, for grass, for things that are thrown away and last for a very short amount of time. How he takes care for colors of the flowers. It was Sunday. I was mulling over what I was going to teach, and we were at Costco getting some things. And this guy walked by. Confirmation. He walked by in this really colorful shirt. It had like flowers on it. I didn't really get a good look at it, but it was very colorful. It had flowers on it, and he had this verse: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And I thought, well, that's confirmation that I should be teaching on this tonight. If I didn't know before, I did then. And you know, think about how beautiful sunsets are, sunrises. We go out and walk, me and my wife, in the mornings when the sun's just coming up. This time of year is awesome. It's nice and cool. There are not too many cars out. The birds are chirping. The sun starts coming up, and it's just a brilliant orange. You got purple around it. It's like, awesome, God. This is just a tip regular day, and you're still painting these awesome pictures for us. Verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So if he takes such good care of something as insignificant as grass, at least to us, don't you think he'll take much better care of each one, every one of you? And he says, O ye of little faith. I think he was smiling. He's not pointing his finger. You of little faith. He's saying, God takes care of the birds. He takes care of the plants, the animals. You don't think he's going to take care of you? Where's your faith at? It's so small. I'm a big God. Have big faith. I think people's faith is reflected in how they see their God. People with a little faith see a little God in their minds. People with big faith, they have big faith because they know they have a big God. Nothing is beyond him. Verse 31. Therefore, another therefore, and worry. Get the feeling that he's trying to get these folks' attention he's talking to. I know that with me, I get to hear the same thing over and over again. That's why you keep writing, reading the Bible and going through passages and verses and books, because either they'll speak to you in a new way or the same old way that you've already forgotten about. Therefore, do not worry. And he repeats the needs he just talked about. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So God is comparing his promised people. Jesus is saying this. Everybody else who's not a believer, the Gentiles who are frowned upon and looked upon as enemies of God, and they were until they accepted God. He says, they have the same needs, but don't be like them. Your heavenly Father knows him, knows these things. Trust him. Make your life about him, not about your needs or anything else in this life. Look beyond what you can see. And we come to our main verse, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I can stop right there. We got a good message. We got a good focus. I think we would be good if I was teaching Sunday school, maybe. So let's break down that verse word by word and phrase by phrase. So the word seek, in Greek, it means the word is zeteo, Z-E-T-E-O. And it means to seek in order to find. To deliberately strive and desire something as an act of will. I put down in parentheses, to choose deliberately, to be very deliberate about what you're going after and focused. So we seek, well, when we seek, we're searching for something. We're putting our time and energy into what we're desiring, what we're looking for. So my question is, what are you guys looking for? What does the world say we're supposed to look for? I wrote down a few things. If anything comes up, shout it out. I put happiness. You hear people say, I want to be happy. People are looking for love, sometimes in the wrong places. We're looking for wealth. We're looking for security. We're looking for peace, fulfillment. Some even are looking for God. So think about that. On a day-to-day basis, what are you looking for? I know when I see this verse, seek first the kingdom of God, I think, well, that's who I'm pursuing, you know. But are my actions and my thoughts reflecting that all the time, all day, every day? It's hard to focus on God when you've got a job to do, when you got kids to take care of, when you're driving down the road. You've got to take care of the practical things, the things that are in front of you. But you don't, it doesn't mean that you can't keep God right there in your subconscious, just right going along with you. When it says to pray continuously, Paul doesn't mean to be on your knees with your hands folded praying all the time and not do anything else. It means to have that practice that presence of God in your heart all the time. Always be talking to him. I try to get in the habit more and more when I'm working, when I got to make a bad phone call, or I see a call on my work. I see a call coming in and I know who it is and I really don't want to talk to him. Or I know there's problems coming. Or I got to, you know, do any number of things and, you know, just going in there and winging it, that's fine. But I'm trying to always turn towards the Lord, even for these little things and these small, simple moments. So the second word is first. So we had seek, to diligently search, and to seek first. This is what we do when we're making a priority of something in our life, to go after this first and foremost. So Jesus here is saying, he's narrowing down what we should be focusing on. He said, first seek, search. Okay, but he didn't say for what until he said the next word. In this passage, seek first means look diligently and make it a priority. He's saying, look with all of your heart. Put this on the top of your list of priorities. If we back up into Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21, he talks about the heart here. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, don't work so hard to lay up things in this world that are going to get broken, destroyed, are going to get lost. Focus on pushing things forward into your next life in heaven. If we invest in heaven, it's eternal and it's secure. 100% guaranteed. Make seeking the Lord a priority. So the next phrase is the kingdom of God. So we have seek, to look for, make it a priority, the kingdom of God. So look, search diligently, make it a priority. Make the priority seeking the kingdom of God. Ultimately, if we want to define the kingdom of God, I mean, ultimately we're going to be in heaven. Okay, as believers, that's where we're going to be, the kingdom of God. That's like the ultimate end of the kingdom of God. If we accept Jesus as our Savior, that's where we're going. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Anybody? Anybody? So the work we do for God's kingdom, it will last. It's eternal, unlike the things we work for here on earth. But the kingdom of God is not just the hope of a place that is far away from us and sometime something in the distant future, somewhat mysterious. We don't have a lot of details. We know it's going to be wonderful. God's promise is that. But it's kind of a several steps away in our mind, to me anyway. I'm not always thinking sometime I'm going to heaven. All day long I'm thinking, I just got to get up first out of bed, and I got to go through my routine. I got to work. I have all these things I have to do. I got to get gas. I got to go to the store. I got to do all these things. So sometimes it's hard to think of something that you can't really grasp the total meaning of it, the total how wonderful it is. But the kingdom is more than that. It's about God's reign, his rule, and his presence here and now in the lives of his people. This kingdom is also in our hearts once we accept Jesus. Let's go through a few verses about the kingdom. Mark 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Well, if you thought that it was just heaven was the kingdom, and you were being told that the kingdom of God is at hand, that's a little confusing, because I'm still on earth and I still have to eat, and I'm still cold when the wind blows and I'm hot when it's summertime. It's a little confusing. God's kingdom was breaking through to our world when Jesus came. That is the good news of the gospel. Heaven had come to earth through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Let's look at Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We must humble ourselves to enter God's kingdom. We must recognize our need for God. John 3:3. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We must go through a spiritual rebirth, a baptism of the Spirit, if you will, and be transformed in order to be in the kingdom. Matthew 18:2. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. We must have childlike faith. We must trust him and put away our pride. Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God delights in giving each and every one of us eternal life in his kingdom. And that can start the minute we accept him. We have eternal life the minute we become believers. Because whether we die or not here, we know where we're going. And it's interesting, he says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That was blasphemous in the Old Testament. The name wasn't even pronounced. You know, the names of God, when they wrote it down, the Hebrews, they didn't even put the vowels in there. But here Jesus is calling the Almighty God of heaven, the one that the Jews reverenced so fully and totally, our Father. He's bringing that sense of intimate relationship closer to his people here. He's starting to introduce that. And finally, Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, or let us be thankful. God's kingdom is secure and everlasting. It cannot be shaken. We should have gratitude for all he has done for us and for the eternal security in Christ he has given us. So going back to our verse, seek first his kingdom and also his righteousness. God's righteousness is his perfect and pure moral nature. He is perfectly just, perfectly honest, perfectly virtuous. In short, he's perfectly holy. We're to strive to be like him. Psalm 11:7, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Little King Jamesy. So I looked up, the little translation would be, the upright will see his face. So the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness, and the upright will see him. God in his righteousness has provided his word as a guide for how we can seek his holiness. Some examples of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament and the fruits of the Spirit are examples that we can look to for how we can seek his righteousness. We read in the Bible that God is love. Paul writes of godly love in 1 Corinthians 13. We've often heard this at weddings. It starts in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So, if we substitute, we want to know what God's like. If we substitute Jesus, or you can put God, everywhere in this passage where you see the word love, you get an idea of what God's righteousness looks like. Let's do it together. Jesus suffers long and is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not parade himself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. He bears all things, he believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. So in looking at that, try to put your name in all those areas. Do you do all these things? I do. Maybe not all the time in every one, but sometimes here, sometimes there. On a good day, a couple of them for a little while. We need God, and we need Jesus in our heart and God's Spirit to guide us and to direct us. This is a real tall order for us mere mortals, I would say. Fortunately, God has promised to equip us as we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let's look at a couple of verses. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, from that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For with me you can do nothing. I love that picture of Jesus being the vine and all of us branching out from him. We have to be connected to him all the time. We could bear fruit if we are connected to him. When we back away, when we're not in the word, when we're not together fellowshipping and studying together and praying together, we're not going to do much for the kingdom. 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, he will perfect, establish, strengthen and settle you. When he says perfect, he's meaning to finish us, not to be perfect, but to mature us in his way, in his spirit, to establish us, to give us a foundation, to strengthen us for our day-to-day life, and to settle you down. Through him and only through him can we successfully seek his kingdom and his righteousness. The vital part of the verse. So we have, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are all these things that he's talking about? Let's look back to the beginning of where we were reading. I have my little passage on verse 25 is, do not worry. And if you go through here, it says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then he gives examples of how he takes care of creation, and that we are much more valuable than anything else that he's created. He's saying that the things that we worry about and are concerned about, if we put him first, and we continue to seek after him, and seek his righteousness, in other words, try to be more and more like him, all the rest of the things in your life will be taken care of. You don't need to worry about them. The last verse in the passage, verse 34. One more time. Therefore, because of everything he just said, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If you think about it, we've got enough that we have to deal with on a daily basis. And worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year, it complicates things. It takes our focus off. Well, number one, it takes our focus off of God. And two, it takes our focus off of what's going on in the minute, in the moment. God wants us to follow him moment by moment and to continually seek him out through all your challenges of your day, through all the triumphs, all the blessings. Thank him for those things. And anything and everything you do, follow him step by step. Tomorrow will come. It'll be another day. You'll take care of the things that come your way. And a lot of things, I'm sure you guys have found, that you worry about never happen. It's just a waste of time. You can't make yourself any taller. You can't make yourself live any longer. It's pointless. Doesn't mean we don't do it. I know we all get concerned. I changed the word. Oh, I'm not worried about that. I'm just concerned about that. But there's a lot of things to be concerned and worried about. And it's like in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. He's not asking us. He's telling us, don't be anxious. But he's not saying that deny your emotions. And anytime you feel shaky about something, that you're in the wrong and I'm going to zap you. He's just saying, don't live in that. Don't live in anxiety and fear. You have no need to do that. You have God right there, the one who knows you better than anybody, the creator of all heaven and earth, the one who's in control of everything, the one who has a plan for your life. He's saying, everybody in the world worries about things. You're different. You know me. You say you trust me. Well, then prove it. Minute by minute, moment, day by day, follow me and trust me. Put God first in your life, and he promises to take care of you. And don't worry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, that we can put the worrying aside. We thank you, Lord, you have a plan for us. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what comes our way, you've got our back, Lord. You won't keep us from having trouble, but you'll keep us in our trouble. You'll carry us through it. We can rely on you, Lord. We can trust you and your strength, Lord, and above all, your love. And we thank you that you've made a way through your son, Jesus, that we can all have a relationship with you directly, Lord, and can seek you out directly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, music. Put my phone. Hold on.